it's important to witness and be about the Lord's work and talking to people. And it's possible that you can be successful at it. It's possible that you can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and have them positively affected by it. It's affected a lot of us in this room. We've been affected positively by the grace of God and blood of Jesus Christ. It saved us, changed our lives, done wonderful things for us. I heard a story, it's an old story, you might have heard it. I heard an old story about some fellas. They were in Bible school and they were looking for part-time work. So three or four of them went over to a place where they sold Bibles door to door. And the fellas went out and they sold one, you know, two, three, whatever. And there was one fella went out kind of backwards. He had a little speech impediment. And when he came back, he'd sold 27 Bibles. And the boss said, "My goodness, this is unbelievable. I've never had anybody sell 27 Bibles in one day." So they went out the next day, thought it might have been a fluke. And the fellas went out, they sold one, two, three Bibles, whatever. This guy came back, he had sold 54 Bibles. The boss said, "That's just unbelievable." He said, "I'm going to go with you tomorrow and find out how you do it." So he went out and he knocked on the first door, and the lady came to the door and he said, "Ma'am, I'm going door to trying to sell Bibles. Would you like to buy one or have me reread it to you?" So he did real well. So you need to find out what works Thursday night and do it. Let's look at our book tonight, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Now, I'm not an English major, and I don't have perfect grammar by any stretch of the imagination. And if you've heard me preach, you know that. But in looking at this first chapter of the book of Ephesians, one of my sins when I was in high school and college in writing was run-on sentences. And I looked at this chapter, there's only five sentences. This chapter is the greatest collection of sanctified colons and semicolons in all the Word of God. And I want to just talk to you about tonight a few things from this chapter. And let's begin our reading. We'll talk about everything, I think, from the fourth chapter on down, or excuse me, the fourth verse on down to about the 19th or 20th. But let's begin our reading tonight in the middle of one of these sentences, verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Let's have a prayer tonight. Father in heaven, I pray You'd help me. I pray You'd help my mind clear my thoughts and help me to say tonight what needs to be said. Be an encouragement to these people in regard to the great endeavor of winning people to Jesus Christ. I pray You'd fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray You'd sanctify our thinking. I pray You'd stir up our memory banks. When we communicate with people, we can pull up the scriptures that we need to stop the mouths of the gainsayers. And I pray You'd give us victory in Jesus. Help us to rely and trust completely upon Thee in these days. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight, and I'll not be very long, I don't think, on the subject of possibilities. Possibilities. In this chapter, in verse number 11, the Bible talks about the possibility of prosperity. It said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of get-rich Christianity, but I'm talking tonight, and I think Paul is, about a spiritual inheritance that every single child of God is an heir to tonight. There's the possibility of spiritual prosperity. Verse 10, tucked in the middle there, we have all things in Christ. Then I notice too in verse number 11, there's the possibility of purpose, being predestinated according to the purpose. It's wonderful to have a purpose in life, to have a reason for living. In 1990, you may not believe this, and maybe you don't remember it, I live in Cincinnati, and I'm not a Cincinnati Reds fan, but I am a baseball fan. And the Cincinnati Reds won the pennant, and I had gotten tickets to all of the games against Pittsburgh, and we sat, I think, in about the 12th row from the end out in center field. If you could tell there's a ball game out there, you had to have the eyes of a bald eagle. And we went to the game, and it was, I had preached someplace, came home on Monday, and my brother and some folks from my dad's church, I don't know why, they'd come down on Monday night and gone to the World Series and got tickets. And I said, well, I told my middle boy, he's a baseball fanatic, I said, we'll go to the game tomorrow night and try to get some tickets. So we went to the game. I said, you see if you can bum some, and, you know, stand out there and try to get a ticket. And he bought one for face value, didn't have to pay any extra. I told him not to get scalped. And I was out there trying to get a ticket, and a fellow walked by me, and he said, come here. He said, I was on an airplane flying in here. They had a little contest. He said, nobody knew what the prize was, but he said, I won two tickets. He said, these are the Chicago Cubs World Series tickets. I won them on the airplane. And the only stipulation was that I couldn't sell it, that I'd have to give it away. And he said, if you'll buy the beer, I'll take you to the game. I said, let's go. He didn't give me a ticket right away, you know. So I'm walking along with him, and I'm talking, and I'm trying, what in the world, Lord? How am I going to get out of this mess? And I got right up to the gate, and he handed me my ticket. And I said, sure, I want to tell you something. You made the biggest mistake of your life. Boy, he looked at me. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, I'm not going to buy you any beer. I said, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll buy you anything and everything else in that ballpark you want. It cost me $19 that night. And I sat there, and matter of fact, he never bought a beer for himself all night. I guess I had a little influence on him. It was a temperance meeting for me. But I had a wonderful chance to witness to him, great time to talk to him about the Lord. The next day, I was leaving, flying to Europe to preach 3 weeks in Romania. And I told him about that and told him what we were trying to do over there and all the work. And I've been working with Lando. That doesn't say much for me, but I was working for Lando with him the last, 7, 8 years, I guess. And I was telling him all about that. And he said to me, he said, Tim, guy about my age, he said, it is wonderful to have a purpose in life. Now, I'll tell you something, child of God. There's a possibility tonight for you to have a purpose for being on this planet. There are souls to win to Jesus Christ. Then there's another little thought I want to give you before I get to the message. I haven't got there yet. Look at verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Look at verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. I think it is possible for us to bring praise to God. I think your life and my life ought to add to the consummate glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to bring praise and honor and glory to Him by the way we live our lives. I don't know anything in the world that can bring more glory to God than you reaching somebody for Jesus Christ. Nothing in the world. Then look at verse 13. He said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I say to you tonight, there is the possibility of having God's power on your life. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? It's not the impossibility of God's power in our life, nor the improbability. It's the possibility tonight that you and I, as human beings, flesh and blood, can be filled with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. And nothing will help you be a soul winner any more than God's Spirit in your life. Matter of fact, you're not going to win anybody to Christ. He's got to do the work. He does the work in and through us. Now, I think there's a couple kinds of power. There's a kind of power that some men put on and take off like a cloak. They step into a pulpit and they become a holy man. And when they step out, they become a wicked man. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I believe in that kind of power that makes a change, that it affects the inner man, and it makes you different permanently. Something about you that's different. We need it so desperately in our day. Spirit-filled men and women in the pew, Spirit-filled kids in the teenage department, Spirit-filled parents, Spirit-filled daddies and mommies, Spirit-filled preachers, Spirit-filled song leaders, Spirit-filled choir members. We need folk interested in being filled with the power of God. We need it desperately. We've gotten away from it. We know how to do it now. We know how to minister now. We know the Romans Road or the Titus Turnpike or the Ephesians Expressway, whatever you use. We need the power of God. The power is available tonight. The question is, are you? Are you available? Let me give you my message this evening. Look in verse 17. We read it. Just a little phrase tucked in there. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. May give. I want to talk to you tonight about the possibility of you reaching your full potential as a child of God. Being what you can be for God. Now, I'm not talking about a positive mental attitude. I don't believe in that kind of foolishness. I'm talking about God doing something in your life, providential, that makes the difference. I'm not a great Christian by any stretch of the imagination. But I know God's done something for me. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm honored that He and somebody prayed it here tonight, I believe, Brother Burchard did, that God, just think that God will use guys like us. Especially guys like him. Guys like me. That's God. It's only God. I was sitting in a restaurant about 3 weeks ago in somewhere in Tennessee or Kentucky, traveling home 2 o'clock in the afternoon at a Cracker Barrel trying to get away from the crowd, having breakfast. And I was sitting there, and two waitresses waited on me. I guess they didn't have much to do, and they were talking and fooling around, and I was talking to them, trying to be nice and be a gentleman. And about halfway through my meal, one of those waitresses came over to me, and she had a gospel tract. And she said, "Sir, look what these people left on my table." She said, "You know, this is the nicest thing." She said, "You know, sometimes you thought leaving them on the table, they just got mad." She said, "You know, this is the nicest thing. I get lots of these." She said, "I really appreciate it." I said, "Little lady, are you a Christian?" She said, "You know, when I was 8 years old, I asked the Lord to save me." She said, "But He didn't." She said, "I just lived my life wicked and ungodly." She said, "2 months ago, I got born again. God changed my life." We had the greatest conversation in the world. Listen, I want to be an individual that people can talk to me about Christ, and I can talk to them about Christ and not be offensive and not be unkind and, you know, not just throw it in their face and say, "Take it, buddy, or die and go to hell." Now, there may be some incident where that is necessary. But the average person out there in this old world, if they get down to business with themselves and with God, they're hurting and they need healing and help that only God can provide. There's the possibility tonight of you reaching your potential and being what God wanted you to be when He saved you. Our book says we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. God wants you and I to be like Jesus. I want to just look at some things in this book, in this little chapter here tonight. Here's something, and I think this is vital when it comes to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. We should be holy. You ought to be clean. As a vessel that God can use. A vessel of honor, not of dishonor. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, we're to follow after holiness. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, be ye holy. I want to say this to you tonight, church, that sin in the average Christian life is more option than necessity. We choose to do it. You're just as good a soul winner as you want to be. You're just as concerned about the lost as you want to be. You spend just as much time in prayer every day as you want to. You read your Bible just as much as you want to read it. You say, oh no, my time is gone. I get up in the morning and the phone rings or this and it's gone. Get up another half an hour earlier when nobody else is up. You have the potential tonight, the possibility of living clean and right. It's an act of our will more than it is a weakness in our flesh. It's an expression of our carnality, not just the coincidence that befalls our path. It's a conscious committal, not an unconscious mistake. Be ye holy, He said, even as I am holy. In your life, in your practice, in your vocabulary, in your thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've never told this story in the presence of my boys. I wouldn't for $1 million. I was in the back seat of a 1964 GTO one night. Midnight blue with a black vinyl top. Had three deuces under the hood. Fast car. Never beat my car. I had a fire engine red 1966 442. And Dale's car never beat mine. But I was in that car one night. Dale reached up underneath that seat, pulled out a whiskey bottle. He passed it over to, his name was Doug. Doug, I won't call his last name, I know it. Doug. Doug took a drink, passed it. Jackie Hargrove was over here, and a kid named Leonard Sleeper was right here, and they took a drink of it and handed it to me. I wish I could tell you tonight, I threw it out the window. That's a preacher's kid. I wasn't saved then. But I wish I could tell you I did right. I made a choice. I chose to do what I did that night. And I put that bottle to my lips and drank it. You have a choice tonight to be what God would have you to be. God wants us to be holy. I think it's possible tonight that we could please the Father. Notice the little phrase in verse number 5, the good pleasure of His will. The good pleasure of His will. And it said about Jesus in another place, He did always that which pleased the Father. It is possible tonight, as a child of God, that you can do what God wants you to do. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. There is no, I don't want to be X-rated, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, but there would not be, all of us are here tonight because of sex. Every one of us. We got here because a man and a woman had a relationship. And that woman had to yield to that man in order for her to become with child and have you 9 months later. Every one of us in this room got here the same way. Amen? We all got here that way. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how we got here. I'm going to tell you something. There will be no spiritual fruit unless you yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Let Him fill you with His power, and let Him use you in His way, and let Him take your mouth and take your lips and take your thoughts and take your eyes and take your heart and take your body and take your soul and take your spirit and yield it completely for the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll have fruit. Why we don't have fruit? That's why there's no reproduction. We're keeping ourselves for ourselves. We're keeping ourselves for the activities of life that we're interested in. No, I don't want that. I don't want to take that step. There's a possibility tonight that we can please the Father. There's a possibility tonight that we can stay faithful to the job that God has given us in spite of circumstance. You say, preacher, it's tough to serve God. Well, it may be. It's tough where we are out here in Idaho with all the Mormons and all that. I'm going to tell you something. It might be tough here and it might be tough there, but it's tougher where God got you, and it's tougher where you're going to go if you die without Jesus Christ as a sinner. I don't tell you it's a wonderful thing to be a child of God tonight. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God help us to pull in the traces with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a sacrifice to serve God. It's a privilege to serve Him. We all got problems. But God's power is greater than our problems. And if God doesn't help us out of our problems, that doesn't mean He's not powerful enough to get us out of them. He's just trying to teach us something while we're in them. I was preaching several years ago in Florida. And I got a good friend. I'm not a name dropper. He's a big preacher. But I wanted to see him. I called him when I first got there, and about 40, 50 miles away, and we'd set up an appointment. We were going to have dinner together. And we called just to make sure everything was okay. The appointment was on. And he said, oh, Brother Tim, I'm so sorry. He said, we've had a funeral. We've had a death, and the funeral's going to be today at 11 o'clock. He said, that just won't be possible. So the preacher I was with had gone to this gentleman's Bible college. And I said, oh, Brother Mike, he's had a funeral and or having a funeral. And he said, well, who died? And I said, preacher, who died? He said, Mrs. Shirley Dietz. I said, Shirley Dietz. He said, oh, I knew her. He said, I used to work on her bus route when I was in Bible college. He said, I'd like to go to her funeral. I said, preacher, we'll come up and go to the funeral. I was so glad I did. I went to that funeral that day, probably 500-600 people at it, 11 o'clock in the morning. And in the course of that pastor's eulogy about this woman laying there in the casket, he told, I'd never seen her before. I didn't know her. He said, Shirley, all the time that she was at our church, ran a bus route. He said, for 7 years, she ran that route, and she averaged 61 people every Sunday on her bus route. He said, in the years that she worked here, she brought almost 25,000 people to this church. And I'm listening to that, and I'm saying, boy, that's good. You know, that's wonderful. And he said, as most of you know, and he said, maybe there's some of you that don't, all the time that Shirley was running that bus route and all the time that Shirley was in this church, she was in a wheelchair. In a wheelchair. Brought 25,000 people to church from a wheelchair. You can stay faithful to your job in spite of obstacles. I saw in your news yesterday in the hotel, I was moved to tears. There was a young boy playing 11-year-old football. He played nose guard. He has no arms and no legs. And in one game, he made 4 tackles and recovered a fumble. Anybody else see that? On the news in the hotel. I couldn't hardly believe my eyes. You know, if a kid, you go out there in the mud, chase a football around, no arms and no legs, seems like we could stay faithful to God when He's given the us the royal mandate to go forth and win people to Jesus Christ. We got two good arms, two good legs. God is greater than all of your problems. I want to tell you something. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. I think it's possible tonight, and I'd like to spend a long time here, but I don't feel like I have it. I think it's possible tonight for you to be a Spirit-filled child of God. You can have God's power. I don't know if this is scriptural, and you might be able to shoot me down. I don't care. But don't you think it'd be wonderful if every single sinner in the state of Utah would at one time in their life come in contact with a Spirit-filled child of God? You could be that person. Paul said in Galatians 6, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about that, Paul bearing in his body the marks of the Lord, and I wrote in my Bible one day, if I don't bear in my body the marks, then my contemporaries will bear in their bodies the mark of the Antichrist. My neighbors need to know a Spirit-filled Christian. I got a neighbor, he's about 40 years old. He came over to my house. I got home last Thursday late. I was sitting in my house going over my mail and doing stuff. And I thought I heard somebody knocking on the door, and I saw the motion light come on. And I went to the door, and there was my neighbor. He had 40 years old, had his Halloween mask on. What a mature fella.
He said, Carol wanted me to come over and scare you. I said, I'm real scared, Dave. I'm scared to death.
You know the first thing he said, though, when I opened the door, he said, I'm lost! You know, he was just talking about, you know, he looked awful-looking character. You know, that he was, you know, lost. And I thought about it after we talked a minute, and he went back to his house, and I went back to my work. He is lost. Doesn't know how lost he is. I've talked to him. I tell you, my neighbors need a Spirit-filled Christian on their street to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. So do yours. I think tonight it's possible now to love sinners and to love saints. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's a lot easier to love sinners than it is saints. You know, someone wrote the little poem, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, now that's another story. You know, one of the reasons we don't win people to Jesus Christ? We got so many interpersonal relationship problems. We need to get right with one another. You say, why, Brother Green? It grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit of God. It's possible to love sinners like Jesus loved them. It's possible to forgive those that have offended us. It's possible tonight that we can do the will of God for our life. I read in Mark 3 and 35, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. Obedience to the will of God determines my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's possible tonight that we can have revival. It's possible tonight that we can have souls saved, service after service after service after service. It's possible tonight that you can win somebody to Jesus Christ before 1997 goes to bed in the arms of 1998. You ought to determine in your heart, that's what I want to do. I want to do God's will. You know, most of us Christians, we're warehouses. Brother DeMichael puts out good material. The other Sunday school teachers, and you got a Bible Institute. And we become nothing more than warehouses. And some of us have had to tear down our warehouses and build bigger warehouses to take in all of this Bible knowledge that we've accumulated. I mean, we know why there's seven horns on the dragon's head. Who even cares? A ringy ding ding. I don't care how many. I'm not going to see that rascal. I'm going to be in heaven. Don't give a flip about him. I mean, now you got people, why is the pale horse pale? And why is the red horse red? Well, if mother and daddy were pale, that's why. Goodness gracious. We become warehouses of spiritual material when I think God wants us to be vending machines or production lines or distribution centers to get the gospel to a lost and dying neighborhood, city, and community in which we live. It's told of a missionary by the name of John Geddes. And on the 1,000-seat memorial church in the South, how can I reach my potential? How can I be what God wants me to be? I think it's all wrapped up in verse number 19, he said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Who believe? Who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. I think it's all wrapped up in one simple word. Faith! I don't have faith in my ability. I've got 4 earned college degrees. Big deal. Sat in a class and wrote the stuff down at the T. So what? You don't win people to Christ. Come into my office. I don't even have them on the wall. I never even unpacked them when we moved to Cincinnati. They're in the same cassette box that they were in when we moved. Here, I want you to see here. I graduated here summa cum laude, and I was summa cum laude here too. I mean, tell you, I never got anything but an A when I went to that course, right? That school right there. Now, if we go back here, those first two, it's a little different. I graduated O-Lottie. Thank you. I didn't win anybody to Christ by showing them my degrees. I don't show anybody to Jesus by letting them look at my license to preach. God wants to fill us with His power that we might reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let our lives be a living epistle read of all men. Have faith that God can do in our lives what only He can do. I remember a story when I was a boy. It was the most moving story I'd ever hear when I was a little old kid, like these kids sitting on the front row. I wish I had it. Had the little book. It was called Barney's Barrel. Maybe you've seen it. Old Barney was a little poor boy, I guess, and he lived in a barrel. And he sold pencils and shine shoes and did things on the street, and the police knew him and the storekeepers knew him. And somewhere down the road of life, that little fella found the Lord. He got saved. And as time went on, they didn't see him for a few days in the middle of the winter. And a policeman happened to come by the barrel where Barney lived, orphan boy, saw him down in there, and he had contracted pneumonia, and he was dying. They took that little boy up to the hospital, and as the story goes, I can't tell it except out of my memory. He was laying there in the hospital and witnessing to the doctors and witnessing to the nurses, and that little fella, just by the love of God, won those people to Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful thing. You're gonna win more. You mean, you remember the, I wish I had time to preach on this. You remember that Ethiopian eunuch? He's the guy that had the Bible. Philip the soul winner didn't even have a book. He didn't have a tract. He didn't have anything. He was just obedient to the will of God. And I believe saturated with the power of the Holy Spirit that when he spoke to that man, God spoke to his heart. What we need more than anything, not our wonderful arguments and our great discourses on the Scripture and how much we know, but if we can know God and folks can see God in us and see our love and our compassion and our concern and our heartbeat, they'll come to Jesus Christ. Where's our tears? Our tears have dried up. Don't cry anymore over sinners. I need to. I used to go visiting with a fella at my dad's church. He's a German, big, strong, strapping guy. All conference football player in high school. And we used to go. And every time I'd won him to Christ. Oh, maybe about 2 or 3 years after I got saved, I won Gene to the Lord. And I'd take him out with me. And every time I'd let him talk, he's big, I mean powerful, he'd start crying. He just, oh, God's been so good to me, sir, I tell you. And he'd get embarrassed. And more than one occasion, he'd get up and just leave the house. And, buddy, I'd just take my Bible and win that old boy the Lord. Oh, Gene had watered that fellow's heart with the tears from his eyes. He's embarrassed about his tears. I wish I could cry like he could. God help us. It's possible tonight. It's possible tonight that you can be a soul winner. It's possible tonight that you can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's possible tonight that you can positively affect people for heaven and help them escape the damnation of hell. It's possible. Oh, no, not me. Yes, you. God can use the most unlikely among us to reach people for Jesus Christ. It's possible. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. You have a desire in your heart tonight to have God's power in your life. You have a desire tonight. Here it is, what, November the 3rd or 4th. We've got less than 60 days. 1997 will sink into the hourglass of time. Less than 60 grains of sand. Have you won anybody to Christ this year? Have you taken that book that's the power of God in written form, put it in the face of a sinner, and showed them the glorious claims of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you shared your testimony with somebody in a time of trying to reach him for Jesus Christ? Paul did that 3 times, recorded in the Bible. He probably did it a whole lot more times. He just gave his testimony. People got saved. If you're a Christian here tonight, I'm not worried if everybody comes forward or nobody comes forward. If you're a Christian here tonight and say, oh God in heaven, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to have the power of God on my life. I want to reach some sinners. Even this week. But surely, before the year is gone, as our brother plays and as you stand, would you come and make some holy vows to God tonight on this old-fashioned altar? And say, God, please fill me with your power. Please help me to be a soul winner. It's already full. Maybe you just need to kneel right where you are, all over the auditorium. Maybe just kneel right there. Say, God, I want your power upon my life. I want you to fill me with the Spirit of God. I want you to use me to reach my children, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my neighbors, my friends, my fellow employees, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not going to do it on your own, friend. You need God. Father in heaven, I pray for this vast army, the sleeping giant of Treasure Valley Baptist Church. Oh God, would you awaken her? This matter of soul winning. Surely it's a heartbeat of the preacher. We wouldn't even be here in this hour. Surely it's a desire of the leadership of this church. A
But I pray it filtered down to the youngest person, to the least significant, the most incapable. God, pour out your Spirit upon them. Make them successful. May they reach the potential of every born-again child of God to reproduce himself or herself. Oh God, in Jesus' name.